Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 429, the fourth stanza. Lord, though I walk mid trouble sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. Though angry foes my soul alarm, thy mighty arm will save and cheer it. And what follows, Psalter 429, the fourth stanza. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 7. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine of the death of Christ and the redemption of men thereby, the article 6 and 7, as can be found on page 104 in the back of the Psalter. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. For they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son, who was consecrated forevermore. From the canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine of the death of Christ and the redemption of men thereby, articles number 6 and 7. Article number 6. And were as many who were called by the gospel do not repent, and nor believe in Christ, but perish in unbelief, this is not owing to any defect or insufficiency in the sacrifice offered by Christ upon the cross, but is holy to be imputed to themselves. Article number 7. But as many as truly believe and are delivered and saved from sin and destruction through the death of Christ, are indebted for this benefit solely to the grace of God, given them in Christ from everlasting, and not to any merit of their own. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then the doors of thy house have been opened for the second time on this holy day of rest, and then by renewal, then as a people, we attempt to call upon thy most holy name, where we are called to be the mouthpiece of this people when we speak unto thee, and then also the mouthpiece when thy word may be brought to this people. And then we have begun that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, and may that be fulfilled. And may our eyes be upon thee. O wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening, and wilt thou be our helper ever near, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name, O Lord. And may it then please thee to bless thy holy word in this hour, where also in this service, that thy word shall not return void unto thee, It shall either be a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. And thou wast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. May then in this very hour thy holy word be used, and may it be accompanied by thy Holy Spirit, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. It is written in thy holy word that the angels in heaven shall rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. But, O Lord, when it may be heard that thy kingdom may be extended, what a joy it grants in the midst of thy church. May then in this afternoon the kingdom of Satan be diminished amongst us, and that thy kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, may it be expanded, that many may be placed under the banner of Jesus Christ. Lord, convert what is unconverted. Remember thy children. Wilt thou grant by thy precious Spirit that they may see more clearly, believe more strongly, love more ardently, obey more willingly, and be willing to take up the cross to walk more cheerfully, and with an eye upon thy honor and upon thy glory, Lord. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? In these solemn times, remember the established churches. Remember the denomination. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. May their number be increased. Wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church, where there are so many countries that in this day that thy church had to gather with fear and trembling. Perhaps the service is disrupted. Remember those in prison, in concentration camps, and other places for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou take the veil off the beloved for the Father's sake? Remember all mission work, also our mission field. And then thou was granted in the past week that a young father and mother with their two little children, that they were unable to travel to Bolivia. May they experience on the first Sabbath day in a strange land, another language, a strange culture, that thou art an everywhere present God. Wilt thou help them further with the language studies, and that in due time, that their labors may be blessed. Remember the team. Remember thy servants. Also where elections shall soon be held in that country, with many fears and with many questions. May it please thee to have mercy upon that country, and that thou may grant a leader that may have knowledge of thy word, the opening of thy word, and that has learned to pray. Wilt thou remember the many needs amongst us? We lay before thee the needs of all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other loved ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to remember them? May the callings be sanctified. Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life, cared for in the care home at home, those that may still go in and out Above all things, may it please thee to grant that one thing needful. Remember the sick and the afflicted, the little boy in the hospital. Wilt thou continue to spread thy gracious wings over him? Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening, that soon he may return? Remember his parents, remember his siblings. May the callings be sanctified, remember all that are under the physician's care. Remember those that have that dreaded disease. We commend unto thee all the family relatives, the families that have relatives, where there are many concerned. We commend each and every one unto thee. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. Wilt thou remember the family circles? Wilt thou grant that love may abound, what has been separated? May it please thee to bring it together according to thy holy word. We remember prodigal sons and daughters that are wandering upon the face of the earth in the world under a strange religion, our Lord. May they come to themselves, and then they shall come at thy footstool, asking for thy way and asking for thy truth, whether there is a way for such a one to be saved. Teach us that by nature, that we are all such a prodigal son and daughter. It is still a great blessing, a great privilege, when thou keepeth us and our children under the old truth and the old ways. Lord, wilt thou continue to supply the daily bread for the family circles? Wilt thou be mindful of us in this afternoon hour? Then we have to confess that our sins are great, that they are manifold. There is no worthiness in us. It is all undeserved. It is all forfeited, Lord. Teach us more and more the prayer of the publican when he has stood in the back of the temple, when he has smote upon his breast with the prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, the God of my salvation, a day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. And what follows? Psalter 240, 1, 2, and 3. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, where God's word and our text reads thus, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our text words speak of saved to the uttermost, with three thoughts in the first place. The reason they are saved to the uttermost. In the second place, the people who were saved to the uttermost. And in the third place, the extent of their being saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. The reason they are saved to the uttermost, because our text words begin with the word wherefore. The people that are saved to the uttermost, then it speaks of them and that come unto God by him. And then the extent of their being saved to the uttermost, to consider the word able and the word uttermost. Beloved congregation, this epistle was written by the apostle. Most believe Paul cannot be proven to the church of the Hebrews. And then it is clear from this letter that the Hebrews, it was a church that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, but a church that has come in difficulties, a church that has come under persecution, and that were growing weary of the persecution, and to that end, they needed encouragement. Because in chapter 10, then that church is described, where we read in verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. Has that now taken place, congregation, in our life? That by the work of the Holy Spirit, that our eyes have been opened, that it has become reality, God real, and our sin real, and that we have become a true seeker. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. That is the portion of the church, that this church of the Hebrews, that after they were wrought upon, after they have made that good choice, when they have set their face Zionwards, that they have experienced many a trouble and many a trial, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, but all when the Lord works, then it shall be, as we also read in this letter, in Hebrews 11, the verses 24 through 26, of Moses, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin of Egypt for a season, for he had respect unto the recompense of a reward. Ah, when the Lord, when He draws with those cords of love, then we are willing to leave the world behind. Then we are willing to suffer for the cause of the Lord and of His kingdom, because then we have tasted of the sweet things of the Lord. And then further, and partly, while ye became companions of them that were so used. Ah, then we receive different friends. Then it becomes true what I read in Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Thus, it was not an easy time for the church. The persecution was increasing, they have seen, when the enemies of the church, the enemies of the gospel, that they have come, that they have even taken their goods, perhaps they have lost their homes, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They have not wept, but they have taken it joyfully, because they had another treasure in their heart. They were given to taste of the favor of the Lord, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And then the exhortation, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Thus then we hear it, that it was not an easy time for the church. Perhaps there were those that were becoming so weary of the persecution, a danger, that they would compromise. And to that end, the apostle has written this epistle to the churches to encourage them. And then he has in a special way pointed them to the captain of their salvation, of His suffering and of His death, what He was willing to suffer and endure, that that church may be saved. And then in the chapters before our chapter, then there is especially spoken of the preeminence of the priestly office of Jesus Christ, and that over the ministry of the angels. Then in a former chapter, then there is spoken of Moses. It is true, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Exodus 32, verse 32, when as that great intercessor, he has placed himself as the mediator between God and that sinful people that have made the golden calf. It is true, Moses, he could not bring that people into the promised land. He was a type of the law. Then in this letter, there is also written of the ministry of Joshua. But then each time by renewal, then the apostle is given to declare the preeminence of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 7, then we have heard of the priesthood of the Old Testament until Christ would come in the fullness of time. And then we have heard it, there is spoken of the priesthood of Aaron and the priesthood of Melchizedek. And then the apostle is given to quote Psalm 110, that Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And now when our text, that is what our text refers to, because we read, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost congregation. What a wonderful word that word therefore is. Because in that precious word, there lies in the first place a possibility for us and our children to be saved. But therein lies also declares the certainty that the church shall be saved. Oh, concerning that word wherefore, then in man there is no reason, because we read in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that sought the Lord, whether there were any that understood. And then the Lord has declared that they are all gone astray. Those words are repeated in different words in Romans 3, the verses 9 and 10, that both Jew and Gentile, that we have went astray through our deep fall in Adam. In our deep fall, we have turned our back upon the Lord to never return. But now the wonder in our text, that it is written, wherefore, there is declared a possibility, the hope for us and our children, and us young and old. There is not one in this afternoon that can say that it is not possible for me, because that wherefore, oh, we hope to hear from our text the firm foundation of that wherefore, that there is nothing in man, if anything in that wherefore had to be added from man, then it would be eternally lost. But it is a wherefore of free and sovereign grace, that has been the extolling of the church throughout all ages, and that shall continue so, all for the church of God. And then that wherefore, that becomes more and more precious, a one-sided work. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself by faith, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And therefore, what a precious word that wherefore is. And that is based, that is founded upon the work of a triune God. Oh, in our canons of Dort, they are given to extol that wherefore, that one-sided work of God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit. We have heard it out of Article 6 and 7. Oh, if we go lost, it shall be all our own fault. And when the church is saved, then it is grace and grace alone. And now that wherefore, that is reference to the former verses, because in verse 24 we read, but this man, thus our text words, that especially point to the priestly office of Christ Jesus, the foundation of the prophetical office and of the kingly office. Because if Christ had not been priest, if he had not suffered and died, if he was not that great intercessor at the right hand of the Father, then it would be not necessary as prophet to instruct, to illuminate, and to gather that church. Then it would be not necessary as king to gather, to defend, and preserve that church. Wherefore, appointing to the priestly office of Christ, and then we have heard it, that Christ, that he was not a priest after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And then maybe, boys and girls, when you have read along, then maybe you wondered, what kind of a man what kind of a priest was this Melchizedek? Because we read in verse 3 of that Melchizedek, and I think we know who Melchizedek was, when Abram in Genesis 14, when he has returned from a victory, when Lot and his loved ones and his goods, when they were captured from the hands of the enemy with those 318 servants, then when Abram has returned with Lot and they have come close to Jerusalem, then they have met this Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem, and Salem is another name for Jerusalem, and he was the priest of the Most High. And then that priest, he has blessed Abram and given him bread and wine. And then in Abram, then he is given a tenth of all the spoils that he has captured. But now of this Melchizedek, it is written, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Thus, where did Melchizedek come from? Then it must be understood, these words, without father, without mother, without beginning, without end. That was not concerning his human life, because Melchizedek, he was born as a little child, as we all are. He had a father and mother. In this life, he was born and he has died. But that third verse, that refers to his priesthood. Concerning the priesthood of Aaron, then that office passed from father to son. We read of Aaron when he was taken on Mount Hur, that Moses has taken that high priestly clothing off of Aaron, because office bearers, they cannot die with an office. And then that high priestly garment was taken off of Aaron and placed upon Eleazar's son. That was a token that Eleazar would continue in that high priestly office, and so it would continue in the Old Testament. But now this Melchizedek, his father was not a priest, and his son was not a priest. Thus he was a singular priest. And so he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have heard it, that Christ, he has come out of the tribe of Judah. Thus he was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But of course, Melchizedek was only a faint type. And now we read, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. And that wherefore, then we read in verse 24, but this man, thus in the context of our text, then it speaks of the two natures of Christ, young people. We have learned in catechism, and we have also heard it from the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day number 6, that our catechism, Hellenbrook, that he speaks of the necessity of those two natures of Christ, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is when a child of God may be exercised with those matters. Because when the Lord works, then that word wherefore, that receives value. And that is in the way of uncovering, because then the Spirit teaches them that there are no wherefores left of themselves. And no flesh can be justified by the works of the law. The child of God learns that it is a one-sided work. But now when we read wherefore, and that refers, but this man, That is reference to the justice of God, because when the Lord works, then we learn that we need to be saved. Oh, what a precious word in our text words. Also to save them to the uttermost. That tells us, congregation, that we need to be saved. That tells us that we are lost to the uttermost through our deep fallen Adam and through our actual sins. Oh, has that ever become reality in our life? That we have learned that we are lost, that we are utterly lost, that we are traveling on that broad way to eternal destruction. And when that becomes reality, then we become a beggar at the throne of grace, because then we learn that separation. Oh, the thought to be lost without God, without His presence, without His favor. And then if we are not saved, to be lost forever and ever. But now in our text, oh, may that be an encouragement for a poor and a guilty sinner that have learned that they are lost. And how do they learn that they are lost? Because of their sins, and their sins causes that separation, and the justice of God that requires a perfect satisfaction. Oh, the church learns that there is nowhere for from their side that the Lord should have mercy upon them, because they only increase their guilt. And the justice of God, He is so holy, He requires perfect satisfaction. And the justice of God shall never punish in other nature, not in an angel or in an animal. And of course, boys and girls, in the Old Testament, all those animals were sacrificed, but that did not take away sin. Then it was given to the church of God by the work of the Spirit, by true faith, that they may look upon Him whom those sacrifices pointed to. But wherefore this man, thus that speaks of the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now for a high priest, he had to offer sacrifices, he had to intercede, and he had to bless. But now we read in our text, wherefore, before our text, it speaks of his human nature, but at the end of our text, as seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thus that speaks of his divinity, that together with his human nature, those two natures combined, oh, that priesthood from everlasting, that speaks of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that before the earth was, that he was from everlasting, as I read in Proverbs 8. Thus in the context of our text words, it speaks of the two natures of Christ, and how he has assumed our human nature. And then as that mediator seeth, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thus then we have the meriting of salvation, and then also the application in the state of his exaltation. Our second thought, the people who were saved to the uttermost, wherefore he is able also, that is also a precious word. That word also implies, congregation, that you can never say that it is not possible for you. He can save to the uttermost also. And that now becomes the wonder for the church, when they may be included. And in the exercise of faith, that they may become partakers of those precious benefits, and to experience what it is to be saved. And what is it to be saved? We have learned from Reverend Hallenbrook that precious description of the word Savior, that is one who saves from the greatest evil and brings to the supreme good. And what is now the greatest evil? What is the greatest evil in your life, congregation? What is now the greatest evil? Is that all the troubles, the consequences of sin? They can be great. They can weigh us down so much. But is that now still the greatest evil? Or has something else become the greatest evil? The greatest evil, that is sin. Because that brings the separation. And what is now the supreme good? Is that when outwardly in the past season, the Lord has prospered us, given large crops, given health and strength, oh, not to minimize it. That is a great good, but that is not the supreme good, because all the temporal things, they are only for the time, and they do not give complete satisfaction. But the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn that supreme good, that is to be reconciled with the Lord, to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Thus we have that word them, does not say all people, but them. And should it not be our concern whether we are included in that word them? And those them, they are described in God's word. Because the experience of the church, that is declared in God's word. And God's word either excludes us or includes us. And now the Lord has a people that learn that they are excluded. Oh, they do not dare. Although when the Lord comes over, then they may be included. But to that end, those them that is further described, because who are now those them? And that is now clearly declared in our text. And then we must listen very closely whether we are included in that people. And then we read, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Thus that speaks of coming to God. And now concerning that coming, all may come. Because the word of God that calls to all of us. We have heard in this morning, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the silver, and that white raiment, and that thyself. Does that message that comes to each and every one, thus all may come. And through our deep fallen Adam, none will come. Christ has even said in John 5 verse 40, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And in John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Thus, all may come, and we have heard from the canons of Dort, based upon God's word, that if we do not come, it is all our own fault, our own sin. Thus all may come, none shall come. And because of that wherefore, and because of that high priest, because of his work in the state of his humiliation, but also as the work in his exaltation, that he prayeth, that he intercedeth for his church. And I read in John 17, verse 20, I pray not for these only, but also for those that shall believe in my name, thus for all the chosen ones that must still be gathered. Wherefore, and therefore they shall come. Do I not read in Isaiah 43, verse 6, that they shall come from the north and from the south, that those sons and daughters, they shall come from afar. And in verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and none shall let it. We hope to hear of that precious word, able, and no impossible cases with the Lord. But now that people are safe to the uttermost, that come unto God. And that word come, that implies that we go from one place when we come to a certain person or to a certain place, then we have come from another place. And now those that come, they come from the world, from the vanities thereof. They come from their self-righteousness. I read in Jeremiah 31, verse 9, that they shall come with weeping and with supplication, that come unto God by Him. When we read of such precious things, congregation, and when we think what it is to be saved from the greatest evil and brought to that supreme good, then we would think that all people would come. But it is written in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we are dead in sins and trespasses, that we are aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the promises, without God, without hope, without Christ. Then we do not see our danger. Then we do not see the beauty of the service of the Lord. Maybe even young people that you think, if the Lord would not convert me, then I would have such a sober life. But that, of course, is not true. Read the scriptures. Why did Ruth make that precious choice when she went to a strange land with another people? Because she has tasted of the good things of the Lord. The one does not come because of the busyness of life. We read of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress that in the house of interpreter that he saw a man with a rake, and that he was so busy raking the earth that he did not look up, that he did not see the crown. Oh, another one can be a love of pleasure. Another one can be the cares of the world. Another one can be too busy. The reasons can be manifold. And nevertheless, we read in our text, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. Have we now ever come, congregation? Have we now ever come to God to be saved from our sins? Come unto God for His favor, for a token of good. Of course, in prayer, then we all come unto God. Our boys and girls, they are taught to pray with all our needs, with all our wants, with our sins. But now to come unto God to be saved with the burden of our sin, then we shall come with weeping and with supplication. Then we shall come with love. But now in our text words, there is something very special written, and that is also for examination for the children of God. Because when the Lord works, when He draws by His Spirit, the one is drawn more, the other is driven more, then they shall all come. But now how do they come? Then we read something very specific in our text words, and that is a lesson that the Spirit teaches His people, that come unto God by Him. Who is that Him? That refers to wherefore. to this man that refers to Christ as that great high priest. And that is a lesson that is taught by the Spirit. Oh, when the Lord begins, how do they then come? Do they come by Him? Then that second person is so hidden. Then they come with a burden of transgression. Then they come with weeping and with supplication. Then they come with repentance. Then they come with reformation. They come with their tears, with their experience. Then they learn that they need to be saved. Then they have to do with the justice of God, that justice of God that requires perfect obedience to the law. And they learn that they are such transgressors, and the further exercises transgressors from the womb, not only actual sin, but also original sin. Oh, then they come. Then they come in the way of prayer. Then they come when they open the Bible. Then they come to God's house. Oh, do I not read in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, but now to come unto God by Him." And then to learn more and more that the justice of God requires payment, that the Lord requires perfect satisfaction. And then what a wonder it is when the Spirit opens the Word, and when their eye may fall on that word "wherefore," wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. When the church learns that they need a mediator, and that is one, boys and girls, that stands between two parties that are far apart, and then that is that hell-worthy sinner and a holy and a righteous God. Oh, when they come to God with their works, and that they hear from Galatians 3, verse 10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things in the book of the law to do them," when they learn with their coming that they are cursed still. Oh, then what a wonder it is when that "wherefore" may be revealed, because we read in our text that come to God by Him. Do I not read in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." Oh, that is a lesson that the Spirit teaches His church. Then how adorable, how precious He becomes when they may come to God by Him as that precious mediator. Oh, when they may be led into the mysteries, also the necessity of that priestly office of Christ, where He has brought that perfect sacrifice that the Father is well pleased. Oh, He was promised the uttermost parts of the earth. He has saved them to the uttermost, and therefore to receive a free access at the throne of grace. Oh, they come to God by Him. What precious examples we have. Ah, think of the servants of Benhadad in 1 Kings 20. When King Ahab went to war with the Syrians, and when they were defeated, then many Syrians, King Benhadad with those servants, they have came into a city, and then we read that they went from chamber to chamber. They could find no safety. Does that ever happen in our life? That we walk through our house and that we have no rest for our poor soul? Can be in many different ways. And then those servants of Benhadad said to the king, "We have heard that the kings of Israel, that they are merciful kings. And to that end, let us put on sackcloth mourning clothes and a rope around our neck, and then we go to the king. Ah, then they come as that prodigal son. When he has come to himself, and when he has said, I will go to my father and say, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. Ah, then they come as that Canaanitish woman, with that true saving faith, with the exercises therewith. Then they come as with that woman with the issue of blood, when she has heard of Jesus, that he was able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Let us first sing. Psalter 301, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord my God, for thy name's sake, in mercy deal with me, because thy kindness is so great, from trouble set me free. 301, 1, 2, and 4. Saved to the uttermost. The reason they are saved to the uttermost, the people who were saved to the uttermost, and now thirdly, the extent of their being saved to the uttermost. that come unto God by Him? Has it ever become our question in our life congregation whether I also may come? Whether I am included in that coming? And concerning those precious words, saved to the uttermost, has it ever become the question in our life, the fear, that I have sinned too many times and too great? To that end, concerning that coming, then what precious invitations there are for a people, because for those words to receive meaning and value, safe to the uttermost, then we must learn that we are lost to the uttermost. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and be ye safe, for I am God, and there is none else. What a precious invitation by Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And now our third thought, that extent. And then we read that He is able. That refers to power. The original word that has much similarity with our English word dynamite. And you know what dynamite is, boys and girls. That is something very powerful. And now it is written that He is able, as that great high priest, then as the good shepherd, He has given His life. But now the good shepherd has risen from the dead. And before He ascended into heaven, then He has said unto His disciples, and unto His church, in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Thus He is powerful. He is able. I read in Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon Him, upon one that is mighty. That is that blessed King at the right hand of the Father. Oh, He is so able. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He has glorified the attributes of the Father, and as that mighty King, then He is able to save to the uttermost. And that is in the way of grace, and that is in the way of providence, able to save to the uttermost. What a sweet and what a most expressive word that is. Oh, for a people that have learned that they are so lost, lost to the uttermost at the ends of the earth. And with all their coming, that they are a black sinner still, and worthy to be cast into hell 1,000 times. But now for a people, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit, as I read in John 16, verse 8, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgments. Ah, that is a people that they are so lost, a people that learn that they cannot save themselves, but wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him. Oh, he saves them from the guilt of sin. He saves them from the punishment of sin. He saves them from the dominion of sin. Oh, that does not mean that that people does not have trouble with sin and with the world. Ah, they have much trouble. But he saves them from the dominion of sin. He saves them from the love to sin. He saves them for body and for soul saved to the uttermost. And that word, oh, that wherefore, that shall receive a fuller meaning at the end of their journey here below, when the strife is past, when the Lord takes his child home, then they shall experience even the fuller sense of this text, safe to the uttermost, because they shall be delivered from this flesh, from the world, and from the devil, safe to the uttermost. Oh, what an examples we have in the Bible that the Lord, in the way of providence, that he has truly saved them to the uttermost. Joseph in prison, the butler has forgotten him, but at the Lord's time, safe to the uttermost, those two dreams were fulfilled. Think of the children of Israel in bondage under those taskmasters. Has the Lord not saved them to the uttermost? Think of the Israelites in Shushan in the time of Esther, when they were all lying under the sentence of death. He has saved them to the uttermost, and in such wonderful ways that it passeth our understanding. Wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. But congregation, if we now do not come, if we refuse to come to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, oh, it is true, in our unconverted state, then we are lost so miserably, but we are still in the precious day of grace. We have heard it in this morning, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that white raiment, that thy nakedness, thy shame may be covered, and thyself that thou may be saved, my unconverted fellow travelers. Then it is still possible that we may be included in this text, but then we must come here in the time as a poor, a needy, hell-worthy sinner. Then we must learn to come to God by him, because I read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. But if we never learn to come here in the time, then we shall have to experience what it truly is to be lost to the uttermost. And that is when we shall be sent to hell. And then there shall never come hope and no need for prayer. And therefore, may you be given to beg of the Lord, oh, place yourself under the means of grace, upon the marketplace of grace, where that counsel is still giving, that you may buy of that gold and of that raiment, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Ah, that word wherefore, and that word to the uttermost, here it is only in part. Here the church may have a small beginning to praise the Lord, but then in eternity, Oh, it shall take an eternity to be wondered that word wherefore. Nothing in man, all in him, as so travels to Jerusalem. Oh, a poet has said, nothing in my hands I bring, as simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Then it shall be their song forever and ever, through him alone, because of thy sovereign good pleasure. Amen. Let us close. Lord, what comprehensive words that we were called to handle in this afternoon hour. And then we could only stammer a little. But, oh Lord, may it be experienced. Oh, wilt thou teach unto us and our children what an awful thing it is to be lost, and to the uttermost, although here we are still in the day of grace, but that we are called to come, ah, Lord. May it please thee then in this day that sinners may be drawn by thy irresistible love, that they may be taught, and then they shall come with weeping and with supplication, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto thy children those sweet meditations, what it has cost thee, that thy church may be safe to the uttermost. Oh, it was because thy dear son, that he was willing to suffer to the uttermost, that he was willing to die, that he was willing to suffer the agonies of hell, that thy people may be saved, O Lord. When thy church may be saved to the uttermost, then thy name is glorified. Wilt thou yet do a great work amongst us? Watch over us in the furtherance of this day. Gather us by renewal in this evening hour round about thy holy word. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 77, the stanzas 1 and 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory over my fall. And what follows, Psalter 77, 1 and 5. Array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.